Why would the establishment, with all the stuff the Bidens have done and all the other things the Clintons have done, go after Trump on things like this, knowing it would embolden him?
The establishment wants Trump to be the Republican nominee. Joe Biden wants Trump to be the Republican nominee. Many Republicans fear Trump being the Republican nominee, not because they don't want him as president, they do, but because they believe that if Trump is the nominee, Joe will not have to defend his utterly indefensible, deplorable record as president of the United States, because the issue won't be Joe's presidency, it'll be Trump's character, personality, and alleged crimes. So this
so they're
is
using,
all part
I
of the
I said that last week, that they're doing the indictment as a smokescreen. Because they, just like Hillary wanted Trump, she thought she could beat him, but she pushed them to push him up front because she thought she could beat him. Now they're doing the same mistake again.
The establishment believes that by ganging up on him this way, it will generate support for him. He will knock off Christie, DeSantis, Hutchison, Haley, whoever else runs, and he'll be the nominee and Joe can win. Then Joe will resign. And whoever the Veep is will become president. Now, who do you think that Veep will be?
Well, I mean, who do you
think? Mrs. Clinton. Mrs. Clinton. You heard it here first. This is part of their scam. If you see her being mentioned as his, as Joe's new Veep, I don't know what they'll do with Kamala Harris, give her some federal judgeship or something, then you'll know that she and her husband are behind this scam. You heard it here.
We are now into hour number three, and we have a really informative guest. Couldn't be a more perfect time to have him on. Judge Andrew Napolitano, host of his own very popular TV show and podcast, obviously a former top legal contributor at Fox News. Judge Andrew Napolitano teaches constitutional law. He's been a judge. I'm not going to go over all his awards and background. Everybody knows who he is. JudgeNap.com, podcast Judging Freedom, available on YouTube. Judge Andrew Napolitano. Here at this historic moment, there's footage about an hour ago of Trump turning himself in. And then we also have the live camera shot of when he's reportedly going to be coming out soon. He's, quote, being processed. Never before done in America. Why do we not let local prosecutors indict former or current presidents? Well, you see it happen in third world countries all the time. You know why. Major constitutional crisis. And then you've got the DA clearly needs to be investigated for committing a felony, leaking the 34-count indictment to the New York Times. That's not journalistic rights and sources, because that's Trump's personal data that his lawyers deserve to get at the same time as everybody else. That's why they have felony laws in New York. Now, Judge Napolitano has been a judge in New York and a judge in other places, so he can definitely correct me if I'm wrong. But we're just really seeing an orgy of tyranny here, a real miscalculation. Trump's up 30 points against DeSantis right now. He'd beat Biden right now. It was an election by 15 points, the polls show. Judge Andrew Napolitano, thank you so much for joining us. Wow, what a time to be alive.
Well, it's a pleasure to be with you, Alex, no matter what we're talking about. I'm dying to read the indictment to see if it's claptrap, to see if it's a gross exaggerations, or to see if there's a there. I didn't know about the leak. I've actually all morning and in the early part of the afternoon, it's 2 o'clock here on the East Coast, been trying to get a copy of this myself. My fervent hope was to be able to evaluate the indictment for you, and my intrepid producer is pulling all the strings he can to try and
sure,
get
sure, sure.
It.
No, no, it's not book. Out yet. Only the New York Times gets to see it.
Yeah. Well, whoever has it has reported that there's 34 counts in there. That means 34 different felonies. That means one of two things. Either they have charged him with matters in addition to the Stormy Daniels, other felonies that we don't know about. It may be the so-called catch and kill, which I can explain in a minute. Or every time Donald Trump reimbursed Michael Cohen for the Stormy Daniels payment, Cohen paid her $130,000. Trump reimbursed him in 13 $10,000 checks. And then the Trump Organization reimbursed Trump in $10,000 checks or wires. There's your 26 transactions there. We're almost up to 34. The catch and kill actually sounds sexier than it is. Trump would go to the National Enquirer and say, there's a lady out there claiming I slept with her. I didn't, but I really don't need the PR. Can you buy her story and then kill it? So the National Enquirer would approach her, pay her $100,000 for the story, interview her, write up the story. She'd approve the story. And then they'd say, we're going to kill the story. And then Trump would reimburse the National Enquirer $100,000. That is arguably fraud on the lady because she signed an agreement saying she can't discuss this with anybody except a reporter from the National Enquirer. Listen, I don't know if this stuff is in there. Women have been claiming to have sex with him, you know, for years. I don't know if their claims are true. He is confronting a lot more serious legal issues than this, but this is the first one to come down the pike. I agree with you. Now, I come on your show to talk about the law and the Constitution, but politically, that's the prosecutor himself. That's the DA. That we just saw. That was Alvin Bragg.
That's right. For TV viewers, the Soros creature, Alvin Bragg, just came out of the courthouse. Go ahead.
Yeah, he left his office to go up to the courtroom, which is where the actual arraignment will take place. Now, I normally don't opine on political matters, but just as sort of a political junkie, I worked at Fox for 24 years. It would seem to me that this will seriously embolden Trump's base. This might scare away some of the more skittish voters, but the base in the Republican Party, as you pointed out, is decidedly moving to Trump. And quite frankly, I have nothing against Ron DeSantis. I know him and I like him. I don't agree with him on a lot of things, but I like him. I don't think he knows how to handle this. I don't know if Chris Christie's going to enter the race. The others that are in the race, in my view, don't stand a chance of laying a glove on Trump. That's former Governor Asa Hutchinson of Arkansas, former Governor.
So that's
Nikki
my
Haley
question to you, a really smart political person, not just a legal, great legal mind. Why would the establishment, with all the stuff the Bidens have done and all the other things the Clintons have done, go after Trump on things like this, knowing it would embolden him?
The establishment wants Trump to be the Republican nominee. Joe Biden wants Trump to be the Republican nominee. Many Republicans fear Trump being the Republican nominee, not because they don't want him as president, they do, but because they believe that if Trump is the nominee, Joe will not have to defend his utterly indefensible, deplorable record as president of the United States, because the issue won't be Joe's presidency. It'll be Trump's character, personality, and alleged crimes. So this
so they're
is
using,
all part
I
of the
said that last week. They're doing the indictment as a smokescreen because they, just like Hillary wanted Trump, she thought she could beat him, but she pushed them to push him up front because she thought she could beat him. Now they're doing the same mistake again.
Right. So this is not the strongest case against him. He's going to be on trial for rape in New York City in 3 weeks, not criminal rape, civil rape. This lady alleged that he raped her in a dressing room in Bergdorf Goodman, a high-end, it doesn't exist anymore, high-end department store in New York. 15 years ago, the state of New York, in its infinite wisdom, has opened up the statute of limitations for adult survivors of sexual assault, and this lady sued him. The case is going to federal court. He's going to testify just a few blocks from where he is now. Then there's the Atlanta, Georgia case. Then there's the two federal cases. There's Mar-a-Lago, and then there's January 6th. These cases are far more serious than this one. But the establishment believes that by ganging up on him this way, it will generate support for him. He will knock off Christie, DeSantis, Hutchinson, Haley, whoever else runs, and he'll be the nominee, and Joe can win. Then Joe will resign, and whoever the Veep is will become president. Now, who do you think that Veep will be?
Well, I mean, who do you think?
Mrs. Clinton. Mrs. Clinton. You heard it here first. This is part of their scam. If you see her being mentioned as Joe's new Veep, I don't know what they'll do with Kamala Harris, give her some federal judgeship or something, then you'll know that she and her husband are behind this scam. You heard it here.
Well, you made a lot of predictions that have come true. So you're saying, is that your own political analysis, or are you getting this from your sources?
Well, I'm getting this from Democrats, candidly, who can't stand her, but believe that she's orchestrating this. So I don't know. I mean,
and by the way, she's right back. Nancy Pelosi, in a bizarre video, we have it, called her Mrs. President, Miss President, well, yesterday, and said the Russians stole the election. So it does seem like she suddenly resurfaced for this.
What do you, Nancy, view as the biggest threats and challenges facing our democracy? And what are the opportunities to try to stop that backsliding and turn it around?
Well, I appreciate that question, but I also appreciate your leadership in this regard. When President... my hope. When Secretary Clinton was in the Senate and First Lady, but especially as Secretary of State in more recent...
Let me guess. She said Trump has to prove his innocence.
Well, that is insane. You know, you would flunk a high school social studies course if you say the defendant has to prove his innocence. We all know that Donald Trump is innocent. All defendants are innocent until proven guilty beyond a reasonable doubt and to a moral certainty. Look, Trump has a very interesting defense in this case.
Stay there, Judge. We got to go to break. And I'll actually play the clip of Pelosi and Hillary. And Pelosi calling Hillary the president. And then you can get into Trump's interesting defense. Couldn't have a better guest on today. We're also got that live feed up there when Trump comes out. We saw Bragg come slithering out earlier. We'll be right back with Judge Andrew Napolitano. Please stay with us.
If Alex Jones runs for president in the Republican Party, he has a chance of winning.
If you just tuned in, you may be noticing I'm wearing an Alex Jones for President 2024 shirt. I am not seriously planning to run for president. This is an idea the crew had. Have a triggering shirt, kind of next level. Alex Jones was right. There's Infowars.com on the back. Alex Jones for President 2024 on the front. It's a fundraiser shirt. It's made out of really nice fabric. It's high quality. And it is a exclusive shirt to Infowarsstore.com. And when the shirts are gone, they're gone. We're doing one run of Alex Jones for President 2024 shirts. And you will have a historic memento, be able to spread the word, meet a lot of like-minded people, and you will be able to keep us on the air.
No way. No way. That's a bridge too far. That's no, it can't be. And I said on national television that he was going to win.
At InfoWarsStore.com.
And we are back with Judge Andrew Napolitano. Could not have a better legal mind on with us today with what's happening. Judge, you got cut off by that hard break with the satellite feeds, the radio and TV stations. You were getting into a very interesting defense that Trump has that nobody's talked about yet.
Well, even if, thank you, Alex, even if everything that the government says Trump did, he did do, that is, he used corporate funds to pay for a campaign expense. If it was not a campaign expense, if it was to save his marriage from the embarrassment of what Stormy Daniels would say rather than his campaign, then it is perfectly legal. Now, if he gets on the witness stand and says, I did this to save the marriage so Melania wouldn't throw me out, I don't know how the government could possibly counter that. So that is a very strong defense that he has, because they have to show, the government has to show intent and intent to defraud the government, because the corporate funds are non-taxable. They're ordinary corporate expenses. If it comes out of his pocket, then he's got to pay income tax on it. Either way, if it was to save the marriage, it's lawful.
Wow. And look, inside baseball, remember the New York Post shots of Melania in that gorgeous, I mean, I'll be honest, you know, lesbian soft porn scene, you know, with another East European woman. That was leaked by Trump because he thought the base would like that. He's never said he was a choir boy or any of that. And so I always wondered why he would make a payoff to her when he knows his base. You know, Christian conservatives don't like it if you say you're this, you know, eunuch, basically, and then you're something else. But if you've never hidden it and you agree with their ideas of politics, I found they're very forgiving. They're not hypocrites, the average Christian. They don't mean they like what Trump does, but they get it. I mean, I don't know why the hell he would make a payment to her.
I don't know that. And unfortunately, that type of argument goes more toward this is political rather than familial. If you look at the time frame, Alex, this payment to Stormy Daniels was 2 weeks after the big brouhaha over the Access Hollywood tapes, which caused some Republicans to flee from Trump. You know, that was his hot mic, off the record, didn't know he was speaking, boasting about his sexual conquests. I think that Paul Manafort and Steve Bannon and the folks advising his campaign at the time said, you know, we can deal with one of these. We can't deal with two. You got to pay off this crazy lady. By the way, Donald, we never heard of her. Is it true? He goes, it's not true. They don't care if it's true or not. They just cared about paying her off. And Michael Cohen came up with this scheme to pay her off. Here's another defense. If Trump had reimbursed Cohen out of Trump's own money and then not taken reimbursement from the corporation, no crime. The only crime is the use of corporate or non-taxable funds to pay a campaign debt as if the campaign debt were an ordinary, reasonable corporate
expenditure. Sure, shifting gears. What about selective enforcement? I mean, I'm not a famous judge like you and a university scholar, but to me, this is selective enforcement. If you've got the Clintons and the Obamas and the Bidens just running around like people swinging off the chandeliers, they're so corrupt, and bragging about their corruption, and then they're going after Trump over a high-end hooker, I think that's why the polls are up. It just doesn't sit well. That even if this is true, it just doesn't compare to the other stuff.
Well, that is an argument for the jury if the judge lets them make it. Normally, judges won't let you make that argument to the jury because that's a form of jury nullification. Now, you and I believe in jury nullification. It is the law of the land. Judges hate it because it requires the judge to say, if you believe the defendant is guilty but should not have been charged for public policy reasons, then you may find him not guilty. That is the law of the land. They can do that, but judges will never tell them that. Selective prosecution, unfortunately for Trump, has to be for the same crime. I agree with you. There is the public view, and it's well-grounded, that Joe Biden received funds illegally from people in Ukraine through circuitous routes involving his family members, that Bill and Hillary did the same, not with respect to Ukraine. That Hillary has pretty much boasted about her failure to safeguard state secrets. So the only crime that the court would look at to determine if it's selective prosecution is the exact same crime, which is false bookkeeping intended to hide or mask a campaign contribution as if it were a corporate expense. They would not look at other things that Biden and the Clintons did because they're different crimes.
What does this do in general? Why do they call this a constitutional crisis? Why do we even have Bill Barr coming out and saying this is preposterous and super dangerous? Other well-known top lawyers, Alan Dershowitz, says he's never seen anything like this. I mean, pretty much across the board, even the feds didn't decide to charge Trump for this. Why do you think they didn't, but now Bragg has made the leap?
All right. It's an odd situation. So, the feds charged Michael Cohen, and Michael Cohen testified against himself in a courtroom about all of this. The trial judge, it wasn't a jury, it was just a guilty plea. But in federal court, you take an oath, you go on the witness stand, you testify. What did you do? Why did you do it? How did you do it? Who else was involved, et cetera. At the end of that testimony, the trial judge says, okay, I accept the guilty plea, but there is an unindicted co-conspirator in the case. He happens to be in the White House. So the feds decided, let's prosecute Trump on this. Cohen wouldn't even talk to them because they just put him in jail. COVID came along. Cohen gets out of jail. It was a low-level prison farm. They shut the whole place down because of COVID, because everybody lives in the same dormitory bedroom. Then he has to talk to Cohen. They interviewed him three times, including two mock cross-examinations of him. And they decided, well, this guy stinks. This guy's terrible under cross-examination. We can't build a case just on him, so we're not going to prosecute the president. Cohen gets the idea of going to Bragg, saying, well, Bragg wasn't in office. He went to Cohen's, to Bragg's predecessor, Cy Vance, saying, why don't you use me as a witness against the president? Cy Vance says, okay, let's develop the case. Cy Vance decides not to seek re-election. Bragg comes in, looks at the case, goes, I'm not going there. My job's to clean up the streets. I don't care about Donald Trump. Then prosecutors quits. You can't make this stuff up. Writes a book about all the evidence against Donald Trump. Bragg reads the book, decides they better gin up this investigation again. They do. They interview Cohen 21 times with 4 mock cross-examinations. This time Cohen is well prepared. He does well in the cross-examination.
Yeah, they're basically training him. He's going to college for this.
Pretty much. So Bragg's team of prosecutors say Cohen is credible. The federal team of prosecutors say Cohen is not credible. Bragg says, give me the documents to back up what you say. Cohen gives them a mountain of documents, Trump organization documents, Cohen law firm documents, Cohen personal documents. They analyze everything and they say we have a case here.
All right, stay there. Another break. This is riveting stuff. We're going to come right back with Judge Andrew Napolitano and a bunch of other angles of this to hit. He's going to finish this story that's so historical. When we come back, be sure to check out his website, ladies and gentlemen, and his show that he does, judgenap.com, Judging Freedom. Trump is about to be brought out. We'll be right back. Incredible footage of your TV viewer, the 45th president of the United States coming out of the courthouse in New York. Regardless of what you think of Trump, this is selective enforcement. This is a lynch mob. And it's just the beginning of federal and other state indictments, as Judge Andrew Napolitano was just saying. We're going to talk about gag orders and more. We still haven't gotten the 34 indictments. It's still not there. We're going to be learning that. Hopefully the next 30 minutes to an hour, right through this show, right into the war room today with Owen Schroyer. Before I go any further, ladies and gentlemen, they decided to not perp walk him, not put him in handcuffs, not do a mugshot, because they knew that that would help Trump. Didn't they know this would backfire? We were waiting for the mugshot. We learned today they wouldn't have it, so we've made our own. And it says political prisoner. With an image of President Trump. The shirt is being printed now in Texas. It'll be shipping out to you in 1 week. Political prisoner with Trump on the front there in a mugshot jail background. It's a fundraiser shirt. It says Infowars.com on the back of the shirt. We also have Alex Jones for president. No, I'm not running for president. It's a really nice navy blue, high-quality shirt. Red, white, and blue. Alex Jones for president. 2024, it's a fun conversational piece and a limited edition shirt. Great way to fund the operation. So get your Alex Jones for president and Trump mugshot shirts at InfoWarsStore.com or by calling toll-free 888-253-253. 3139. And two other things. We're selling out of DNA Force. Won't get more for 3-4 months. It's an amazing product. We're selling out of Real Red Pill, an incredible product. Despite that, we need the funds. They're both 40% off, despite the fact they're selling out. Check those products out at InfoWarsStore.com. Now, back to Judge Andrew Napolitano. You wanted to get, we're talking during the break, you wanted to get in, and that's one of my questions I forgot to ask, the gag order. I don't know if the judge did it. No one's reporting it yet. Is it constitutional? Could they actually do it? Would it be election meddling? Judge Andrew Napolitano.
Well, judges are understandably loath to impose gag orders. I mean, the First Amendment says Congress shall make no law abridging the freedom of speech. But today it means no government, federal, state, or local, executive, legislative, or judicial, shall interfere with the freedom of speech. I mean, Trump may be a criminal defendant, but he's innocent until proven guilty, and he has the same free speech rights as everybody else. However, if he begins aggressively attacking the prosecutors to the point where they feel threatened, or the same with respect to the judge, they will caution him and warn him and ask him to stop. And if he doesn't stop, this will build up a bit of a drumbeat, and they may impose a gag order on him just with respect to this case. Now, that is the last thing that Joe Tacopina and the president's lawyers want, because Don Slam's judge, well, I'd like to hear what he said, because if this keeps up and the judge orders him not to attack the judiciary or judicial system, look what they did to Roger Stone. He's going to be on the show in a few minutes. Roger Stone suffered under the most aggressive, unconstitutional gag order I've ever heard of in the modern era. The appellate court wouldn't rule on it until after his trial was over. But Roger quite properly complied with the gag order because he didn't want to go to jail. I don't know what Trump will do. So most gag orders are limited just to a certain area of speech, but courts are reluctant to do it. How they could silence him when he's running for president, consistent with the First Amendment, is beyond me.
I've got a Daily Mail report here we'll put up on the screen. I can't believe this is happening in America. Trump posts on Truth Social just before being placed under arrest as he surrenders at New York City court in Stormy Daniels' hush money incident. Do you think the Democrats knew how bad this would blow up in their face? But like you said, I think they're so desperate politically, they wanted to actually bring him back into the news, even though it makes him bigger, because then he energizes their base and everything becomes Trump instead of all their crimes. Whereas if we had a new Republican, and I'm supporting Trump and I'm backing him and this is wrong, he's being persecuted, and he really, you know, I mean, I'm just saying separately, if we had a new smart, clean candidate who would just promote basic Americanism, then we actually get stuff done. It's like with Trump, it sucks all the oxygen out of the room.
Well, I agree with you, Alex, that the Democrats want to energize Trump's base. The base they are energizing is in the Republican Party. The Democrats want the Republicans to nominate Trump for president because they believe, and here I agree with them, if Trump is the Republican nominee, then the issue is not Joe Biden's stewardship as president, which in my view and your view and the view of almost everybody watching and listening now is indefensible. The issue becomes Trump's character, personality, and alleged crimes. And Trump energizes the Democratic base, which is far larger than the Republican base, to come out and vote for old Joe in droves. Now, whether Joe would serve the full term or pick a new vice president, one for whom he would graciously resign and hand the presidency over, I don't know. But it's clear that the establishment has lined up all of these cases, the civil rape case coming in 2 weeks, Mar-a-Lago, January 6th, Atlanta, Georgia, this one, in order to energize Trump's base. I happen to think that other Republican candidates, we can get into names if you want, would be stronger because they would focus the media on Biden's horrific presidency because they don't have the baggage that Trump does.
I didn't think Biden could hang on this long. He makes a clown of himself every day, but I guess the deep state kind of likes undermining the country like this. But looking at the Fetterman model, been in the hospital 6-7 weeks, can't even talk, hears voices, I guess having idiots as leaders is the new globalist model.
I don't think Joe Biden's running the federal government. You know, he's their front person because he was elected. I think military decisions, which are leading us into World War III, are being made by Jake Sullivan and Tony Blinken, and economic decisions are being made by Janet Yellen and Joe, whom everybody knows is challenged mentally due to his age, is pretty much just their yes man. He can't debate Trump or anybody in a debate today. He can barely answer questions from reporters. But Jake Sullivan, his head of national security, his national security advisor, is of the view, I believe, that Joe can get reelected if he is a wartime president. And they're nudging us every day closer and closer to war in the Ukraine.
Well, sure. And Woodrow Wilson was president for a long time in a coma. And then they think that Roosevelt was dead a month before we got told about it. So they've had dead presidents before. So don't think just because he's corpse-like that he couldn't do it again. They'll just roll him out like with a big glass jar with a brain in it.
Well, you know, they will stoop to conquer. They're stooping to manipulate the Republican votes in the Republican primary with these prosecutions. Only one now, but you'll see others soon. Against Trump, that's their mantra.
All right, Judge Napolitano, stay right there. Final long segment coming up. Roger Stone is going to take over. I got to go to a bankruptcy hearing. That's all going well. We've told the truth. Truth's all coming out. The other side's upset, but whatever. It's all part of the political lawfare stuff that's going on. So we're going to go to break. Final segment, Judge Andrew Napolitano. Then Alex Stein on the ground in New York outside the courthouse with Owen Schroyer next hour. So that is coming up. And please don't forget, we're listener supported. I want to thank you all for your support. 40% off on DNA Force Plus and the Real Red Pill Plus are incredible products. Despite the fact they're selling out, we're still offering them at those prices till they sell out. And the new Trump mugshot, this political prisoner, is now available. It's not the real mugshot because it didn't happen. They want to take that image away from us. But we've got it. The shirts are getting printed right now. So get your pre-order in. It'll be shipping in like a week. Infowarsstore.com. Trump political prisoner t-shirt.
The elite are all about transcendence and living forever and the secrets of the universe, and they want to know all this. Some are good, some are bad, some are a mix. But the good ones don't ever want to organize. The bad ones didn't want to organize because they lust after power. Powerful consciousnesses don't want to dominate other people. They want to empower them, so they don't tend to get together until things are really late in the game. Then they come together. Evil's always defeated because good is so much stronger. And we're on this planet, and Einstein's physics showed it, Max Planck's physics showed it, there's at least 12 dimensions. And now that's why all the top scientists and billionaires are coming out saying it's a false hologram. It is artificial. The computers are scanning it and finding tension points where it's artificially projected and gravity's bleeding in to this universe. That's what they call dark matter. So we're like a thought or a dream that's a wisp in some computer program, some God's mind, whatever. They're proving it all. It's all coming out. Now, there's like this sub-transmission zone below the third dimension that's just turned over to the most horrible things, what it resonates to. And it's trying to get up into the third dimension that's just a basic level consciousness to launch into the next levels. And our species is already way up in the fifth, sixth dimension, consciously our best people. But there's this big war trying to, like, basically destroy humanity because humanity has free will and there's a decision to which level we want to go to. We have free will, so evil's allowed to come and contend, not just good. And the elites themselves believe they're racing, using human technology to try to take our best minds and build some type of breakaway civilization where they're going to merge with machines, transcend, and break away from the failed species that is man, which is kind of like a false transmission because they're thinking what they are is ugly and bad, projecting it onto themselves instead of believing, no, it's a human test about building us up. And so Google was set up 18, 19 years ago. I knew about this before it was declassified. I'm just saying I have good sources. That they wanted to build a giant artificial system. And Google believes that the first artificial intelligence will be a supercomputer based on the neuron activities of the hive mind of humanity with billions of people wired into it with the Internet of Things. And so all of our thoughts go into it, and we're actually building a computer that has real neurons in real time that's also psychically connected to us that are organic creatures so that they will have current prediction powers, future prediction powers, a true crystal ball. But the big secret is, once you have a crystal ball and know the future, you can add stimuli beforehand and make decisions that control the future. And so then it's the end of consciousness and free will for individuals, as we know, and a true 2.0 in a very bad way, hive mind consciousness with an AI jacked into everyone, knowing our hopes and dreams, delivering it to us, not in some PKD wirehead system where we plug in and give up on consciousness because of unlimited pleasure, but because we were already wired in and absorbed before we knew it by giving over our consciousness to the system, our daily decisions that it was able to manipulate and control into a larger system. There's now a human counterstrike taking place, to shut this off before it gets fully into place, and to block these systems, and to try to have an actual debate about where humanity goes, and cut off the pedophiles and psychic vampires that are in control of this AI system before humanity is destroyed.
Right.
But this is an interdimensional force that wants to influence us to build something that absorbs us and kills us, rather than the divine free will we're given to build something much better that empowers the species.
Get your big brain on with Brain Force Plus or Brain Force Ultra. Available now at InfoWarsStore.com.
Support the InfoWars.